Welcome to the Market Intel Report. I'm Flip Gradwell, and this week I'm excited to announce two things. First of all, I'm joined today by Chainalysis co-founder and CEO, Michael Groninger.
Thanks, great to be here.
And second of all, we're really excited to announce that today we're launching Market Intel. Market Intel provides the unique insights that you need to make cryptocurrency research and investment decisions. It's a curated set of metrics that summarizes how cryptocurrencies are used and the direction of the market. It's the data set that I've developed to support all my Market Intel reports, and so it's purpose-built to understand the market. It means that you, everyone listening, can actually do exactly the same research that I've been doing and really understand cryptocurrencies. Today, I want to kind of go back in time a little bit to actually 3.5 years ago when I first joined Chainalysis. I mean, Michael, do you remember that?
I clearly remember that, yes. I remember our whiteboard sessions in mid-Manhattan to try to figure things out.
Yeah, back then the price was, you know, this was December 2017, the price was sort of doubling every week. And at Chainalysis, we knew we had this excellent on-chain data that just describes what's going on in the asset class in a way that you just can't see in any other asset class. You know, you can actually see all of the Bitcoin coming in and out of all the different exchanges. We just filled this whiteboard with all these different metrics that we thought were going to be crucial to actually understanding cryptocurrency usage in the economy. I guess, why has it taken us so long?
So I think there are many reasons to that. So first of all, there's been a lot of focus also in the company, in the entire industry, about the 1% that happens on the blockchain. So all the illicit activity happening there. So we've been focusing on that, trying to talk about that, trying to help governments worldwide, regulators worldwide, financial institutions worldwide, will ensure that they could understand and protect their users from any illicit activity. So that's been like a main focus. On top of that, I would say that what also has taken a lot of time is to refine these metrics and to sell them into a market that is mature and ready to get data. And we do know that you mentioned that back in 2017, the price of Bitcoin was doubling every week. And when we look back at that, that was largely retail driven. And we also know that retail investors are typically more sentiment driven than they are, I would say, metrics or driven by fundamentals in a market. And now we've seen this shift over the last year where all of the institutional investors are entering and they are looking way more at fundamentals and metrics and so on, not to get a return today, but to get a return in a year or two.
Absolutely. I find it amazing that in some ways the best financial advice of the last decade was rocket to the moon. But I have definitely seen that, especially in the last 6 months, when people are putting billions of dollars into crypto, they start to need to ask some real hard questions about the data and they need to understand these fundamentals. And you know, as you said, it's been a long journey to really convince people on one fundamental that cryptocurrency is safe and that you can manage all that illicit activity. And now it's time to really help people understand this next set of fundamentals, that actually there's real economic opportunity here. I'm talking to financial institutions. What's their typical approach to cryptocurrency at the moment?
So when I talk to financial institutions, I think what happened was a sentiment change probably a year ago, a little bit more than a year ago. And it was realizing that Bitcoin and hence cryptocurrencies had been around for 10 years. And 10 years typically marks like, okay, it's not going away. This is real. We need a strategy around that. At the same time, all of the initial problems and concerns around cryptocurrencies, around illicit activity had been solved and seen to be, okay, we understand this. This is kind of covered. And then there was a lot of inbound interest from private bank, on the private banking side, on other parts of the bank to say, hey, cryptocurrencies might be something we actually want to offer our customers. They're asking all the time. And the only thing we can say is too dangerous, go away. And we don't really mean that anymore. So maybe we should start to build a strategy around it. So that happened a little bit more than a year ago. And then over that year, the conversation with executives from banks have changed. It's changed to become more informed, querying like, what should we get into in crypto? Is the first thing custody? Is the first thing to build and understand different products we could build on top of crypto? And basically doing this, going through this exploratory phase. Some of the financial institutions are still in that phase, and some of them have now dialed down and said, okay, we are starting with A and then we do B. And that's definitely something that we see right now.
And you know, actually, in the data that we have on chain and is now in market intel, we saw exactly that momentum that you picked up from the kind of conversations, which I find fascinating, that you can go and talk to all these people, but you can also go and look at the blockchain to see this activity. We actually saw this really big pickup in Bitcoin buying from mid-March last year, as people became concerned about COVID and the economic response to that with all of the money printing we've gone through. And we also saw Ethereum suddenly transform into this decentralized finance platform. So now over half of all the value transferred on the Ethereum blockchain is going to, from, or between DeFi or decentralized exchanges. And that just was not the case even 12 months ago. So as we can find all of these trends on the blockchain that actually really confirm those conversations you're having, how does this change how people might approach researching and investing in cryptocurrencies, which might be different from the traditional financial world?
Yes, I think there are two things to say to that. The first one is that when I have meetings with executives from various banks, one of the things that keep coming up is finance has changed over time. And most of the executives are like my age or older and would say, like, when I did finance and I got into banking 10, 20, 25 years ago, they would say, a lot of things could happen. You could build new financial instruments. A lot of things were booming and all of that happened. When you look at traditional finance today, that's not really the case anymore. And people in finance are often like, really like to be new, build new financial instruments, like to enable their customers with a new way of investing. And that all happens in the crypto space today. So it's obvious that everyone in the bank that sits on the quant side and so on, they want to get into the crypto side of finance and try to see how can we leverage that to build some of those instruments that's kind of gone a little bit stale in traditional finance, but now we can build interesting things in crypto. But then at the same time, when faced with that kind of opportunity, they also see, to do this, what did we do back in the days? Well, we actually looked at all the data. So we started to look through data. We started to look through market movements to try to understand how things moved in the market. So if you want to price a derivative, you need to very carefully understand all the risks involved in that. If you want to use crypto for collateral in lending, well, you also need to be, if you want to stay competitive, you also need to understand the risks and the risk profiles. And the more systemic risk of like a total market meltdown, how will that trickle if suddenly we had the biggest margin call of all? So basically, they need to understand all that data and how they can safeguard on that journey to guide their customers into this new world.
Yeah. So in many ways, would you say cryptocurrency is now developing this more complex set of financial instruments? You know, Bitcoin, it's done a great job as digital gold, but we do more with our money than that. And that's where the market opportunity is. But how do we get from a very almost simple asset like digital gold to a smart contract executed derivatives contract that automatically does margin calls where people are actually managing their risk in a safe way? That feels like the next part of the journey we're on.
It does. And it is one of the things that excites me a lot, because I many times seen as crypto as parallel to the internet in the early days, where initially there was a lot of interest and no one could articulate why there was an interest. There was just this belief that this new technology would open new possibilities and didn't know what. Just a gut feeling from everyone that started to enter. And they did that mid-90s, late 90s, where they started to really see a growth in access to the internet. Then what happened suddenly in the late 90s is that we got content on the internet. And now we see the same on crypto, where I would call content on crypto is suddenly, well, you can actually change from one asset to another inherently on the blockchain. So that's what you mentioned, DeFi driven by Ethereum and the opportunity to go from one asset to another on chain in using liquidity pools. You've seen NFTs emerging, which is also digital art, which lives inherently by digital money, and that's how they're being sold and marketed. And that's another piece of content that we see happening right now. So I think there's a lot of exciting things happening on blockchain driven by Ethereum. And I think we will see even more in the future.
Yeah, I mean, that's really clear in the data. And I think it, for me, it ties into almost like a more fundamental principle. I think you're quite right when you say that there's an internet dynamic here. You know, what we saw from the internet is it really reduced the cost of providing certain things, be that text, which essentially did away with the traditional newspaper industry, or videos. We now have Netflix rather than paying for our cable bundle. In each of those examples, kind of technology or software came in and sort of ate the world. But it's not really done that in finance yet. Yes, finance uses a lot of technology for its back-end processes, but it doesn't have a digital platform to innovate in until crypto came along.
Yeah, I agree. And now if we go a little bit and think very big around crypto, what could happen? What is the trends we are seeing? We are like internet 1997. We look at the world and say, how could this transform? How crazy could this become in like 25 years? And if you look at finance and how things are changing, I think some of the early indicators we are looking at things is like, first of all, people want 24/7. So all of retail, they want to trade 24/7. That's how they think about any asset. Crypto from the onset was 24/7. When I was running an exchange, I hated that it was 24/7 because you never had like the downtime where you could like do things. But at the same time, that's the spirit of the internet. That's the spirit of a global world. So 24/7 is there. So what happens on 24/7? We've seen GameStop, we've seen Robinhood, we've seen some of these things that can happen with when people trade 24/7, retail has access, and suddenly you see high volatility also on traditional finance, simply because the different controls are no longer in place as we see them in traditional finance. If you look at DeFi, we also see 24/7, but there are some level of controls actually, because as soon as people post more and more orders, or like try to execute more and more trades, the fees go up, and that kind of slows down. And then DeFi becomes this big machine with momentum in it that actually doesn't fall apart and just crashes like a traditional exchange would do, where they would stop trading and do other things there and figure out when they should start trading again. This kind of organically adapts to the system in a reasonable, nice way. And that is unlocking what I would say the truest and biggest free economy that we see today.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. This 24/7 nature of the market means that you don't get that downtime to actually think what's going on. And that's why we built this data product, so that you can actually get a sense of where the market is going and understand these trends, you know, as they're happening, and you have really this curated set of metrics, because it's crypto is such a big and noisy industry. And you know, the vision that you outlaid, like honestly, in maybe 6 months' time, it'll be out of date because there'll be something new that's popped up. And I think at Chainalysis, we've really learned how to keep up with what's happening and, you know, stream all that data into this kind of useful way of looking at the world. So maybe I should actually discuss a little bit about what is actually in Market Intel. How can we help people navigate, you know, this amazing new world that's developing?
Yeah, I think that would be super helpful. One of the things I always think is like, when we launch a product, when we build anything, it's always important to ask, so what are we actually empowering the user to do here? So for me here, one good example of a user could be a quant at a financial institution. So what can they do with Market Intel that they couldn't do before?
Best way I think to think about Market Intel, and actually about, you know, cryptocurrency data in general, is it's very similar to when people put satellites up into the sky and they suddenly realized that they could look at the trucks going in and out of a factory, and then they could actually understand, we think the sales are going to be, you know, this number this quarter, and that's actually going to be ahead of what they said, so let's go and buy that equity. When you've got data on the blockchain, you can see where the underlying asset is, you know, moving to and from. So if you're a quant and you're trying to understand, okay, is the price of Bitcoin going to go up or down? You can actually see the amount of Bitcoin that's flowing into these exchanges. And people typically send that Bitcoin into exchanges to sell it. And so, okay, there's lots of Bitcoin coming in, there's not so much going out. maybe that's a time to sell. But at Chainalysis, we can actually go even further than that. So we do a pretty unique thing at Chainalysis, which is we map the addresses, the cryptocurrency addresses of all of these businesses. And we do it for over 2,000 businesses. And we also map almost all of the addresses these businesses control, rather than just a small number of them. And so that means we can actually identify how many users are depositing Bitcoin via the blockchain into this exchange. And is the market really dominated by a small number of them? So for example, you can see, okay, there's suddenly been an extra 30,000 Bitcoin that's coming into an exchange today. Oh, that's actually coming in to just a very small number of accounts. And it's coming from a self-hosted wallet rather than another exchange. That's probably a whale making a really big sell. And so there, I'd expect even more price volatility than I would normally, than if it was just a normal market maker or arbitrage play. So it's that extra level of detail, I think, that we have that makes our data so much more impactful and actionable. And yeah, so I'm so excited that today we launched Market Intel to give people the data to actually take the steps towards that future. I've essentially spent my whole life working in industries where we're trying to understand what the future might look like, but trying to give people the data so they have the confidence to make the big investments that are required to make it happen. And it's been a fantastic journey to this point, but it's really only just getting started.
I agree. It's just getting started.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Michael, and thank you for listening to the Market Intel podcast. Music's by Tyler Beckwith, and if you'd like to explore our Market Intel product in more depth, just please email me at marketintel@chainalysis.com and check the podcast description for more information. I've been Philip Gradwell, Chief Economist at Chainalysis.